You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Frames Per Second Podcast.
It's heartening to see so many strange new faces here today. I know my mom would be very touched and probably a little suspicious. My mother was a very secretive and private woman.
Himes, I swear.
I can feel them in the room.
She had private rituals, private friends.
I don't like this. Dad, I don't like this.
What's happening? Peter!
Don't you ever raise your voice to me. I am your mother.
Wait, stop.
Mom, what's happening?
Make it stop. Make it stop.
Your booty hot.
Ready?
Yep.
What's going on? It's your boy Nikki Duce, aka Mr. No Disrespect, and you now tune into the Frames Per Second Podcast. In this episode, we are doing a rewatchable. I never know how long it takes for something to be rewatchable now. I just usually think if it's not in that calendar year, then it's old now. But we're doing a rewatchable of the hit horror slash thriller film Hereditary. What's his name? Ari Aster?
Mm-hmm.
Ari Aster's film directorial debut with A24. And yeah, it was made for only like $9 million or $10 million, and it made like 80. Mm-hmm. So it was like it was a pretty big hit for a quote unquote indie film. But let me introduce you to the cast that we got, because obviously, you know, if you're dealing with horror, Rod may not be on here. And you're right, he is not. B's gone as well, so it's just me, Mike, Ken, and Nay.
Hello.
Mike, overall thoughts on Hereditary?
Oh, this movie's amazing, man. It's one of my favorite horror movies in the past decade. It's great. I loved it from the second I saw it.
First watch, no need to. It just captivated you after the first.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I knew I had to go fucking look shit up, because, you know, it was slightly confusing at the end. Because I have to watch everything with subtitles on so I can understand what people are saying.
I do.
And when I saw it in the theater, I was just like, when she said, you know, hail Pieman, I didn't know what the hell she was saying. Because I'm like, Pie Man. I was like, I don't know what that is. But I knew it was something that I needed to see again, definitely, after watching it the first time. But I was like, man, this is great.
Ken, what you think?
Oh yeah. I loved it, man. It gave me some things I didn't expect to see in this show, some old shit moments, and I love that, because, you know, horror can, you know, tend to be somewhat predictable over time when you watch a lot of them. So, but I liked that they added some things that I didn't expect, and yeah, I didn't know what the fuck they were talking about either. So. So yeah, I thought it was good.
Nay.
Okay, so I probably am the least biggest fan of horror on this here panel. I enjoyed it in the sense that I was uncomfortable from the time I turned this film on to the time it went off. the end, I didn't know what the hell was going on. And at the very end, I was reminded, oh, this is Ari Aster. This is the same guy who did Midsommar. Is it Midsommar or Midsommar?
I always say Midsommar, but I've heard people say Midsommar. Whoa. I don't know.
I feel like that's the proper way to say it. It's like, is it? It's like Target and Tarjay. You know what I mean? Like it's something like that.
Well, anyway, once it went off, I was like, oh, this is that guy. And okay, I felt the same way when I watched that film. Did I like it? Sure.
That sounds like no, I didn't like this shit.
So like with some who are like the payoff at the end just don't. It's like I spend all this time uncomfortable, and then it's like okay, that's it. I felt the same way with Black Coat's daughter.
Yeah, I understand that.
Yeah, so it was kind of the same thing. Obviously, this guy is into like pagan cults and like different like people who are into. Into pagan cults and all these like different occult type spiritual things.
Yeah.
So being that I watched Midsommar before I watched this, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So it wasn't as, I think if I hadn't seen that, it would have been more of a bust for me.
I actually agree with that. I actually agree. Like, even though Midsommar obviously came a year after this, seeing that one did give me the palette to view this because as I was reading the reviews and all this stuff, like with this coming out first, I felt like that would have been too out there for me to kind of grasp like, oh, what kind of like what the fuck am I really watching?
Right.
But seeing Midsommar, like I feel like that storytelling for some reason explains his mind. How he operates, the type of things he wants you to attach to or to pay attention to. So when I watched this with that being in the back of my head, I was like, oh, okay, I can see why people fuck with this because this is like Midsommar but like more amplified a little bit. Like I kind of wish his order was Midsommar first and then this.
Oh, I don't.
But that's just my opinion. But I did like it. It's disturbing as fuck. but I liked some of the conversations that it had because I always wondered what a conversation would look like when a parent doesn't really fuck with their kid. And you kind of see that, well, not kind of, you really do see it played out to the fullest extent. Mm-hmm. Even within horror, I wouldn't think you would get those conversations in this type of movie, in this type of genre. So glad we got to hear y'all overall thoughts on it. But as we know, the film starts off with an obituary of the grandmother of the main character, Annie. And then also we get introduced to Annie and her family, her husband Steve, and her weird ass kids, Peter and and Charlie. Charlie stood out early on. All right, I'm gonna say this. She looked like she sweep chimneys. Man. She was dirty as hell. Like
you
I was like,
what?
I was just like, why this little girl look dirty as hell? Like she always looked like she got a little smudge on her. I'm like, you clean yourself up, like. That's what I was thinking the whole time. You know what? They made her
talking to
me. I'm just saying, like, they made her obvious, like, oh, this is the obvious weird little girl because she looked dusty. She's like, what? Playpen. Charlie Brown Peanuts game. I'm like, they casted Playpen in this damn movie. Like,
oh, God.
I keep meaning to look her up in real life and see if she's always like, if she just looks like that or
she
if they
has
did
a
something
deformity,
to
her.
I figured she had something.
Mm-hmm. And her sister, who's also an actress, does also.
What's her sister in, do you know?
I don't know. I think it was like off Broadway stuff. So than films. But yeah.
That don't mean you can't clean her up. I don't know what it was. I don't know what the makeup was.
I don't think
like
she said. That was just her face.
I
think that's just her face.
Nah, man.
She did not look like
I ain't trying to be insensitive, but nah,
what are you
man.
About?
They could have.
It was her style of dress. She didn't look dirty. She just like wore big clothes. And
she looked frumpy.
Yeah, she looked frumpy. There we go.
Be nice.
She didn't look dirty.
She looked like she clean.
Man, that's fucked up, man.
I ain't never heard nobody call somebody a chimney sweeper.
A chimney sweeper. Like a chimney sweeper.
Look, like she always got soot around her room, but never mind. what is so Annie? Like, I think Toni Collette did a phenomenal job. I think she. I also want to give credit to the guy who played her son, but like Toni Collette was like
amazing
in this.
Yeah. She's
I don't know what y'all guys thoughts were as far as her role, as far as when she played Annie, but Yeah, she definitely stood out to me.
Her and Charlie were the to me were the best actors in this. I mean, Charlie didn't barely said anything. All she conveyed everything just by being there. Like creepy kids in horror movies is always hit or miss. And I think she was one of the absolute best. Like she just walked around, just the look on her face told you that some shit wasn't right.
It was something about her eyes. Her eyes were so blue to the point where I was like, did they enhance them? But it was just something about her eyes. And it just looked, yeah, she looked very, very creepy without even trying.
You got to, so remember the light that would show up?
Yeah.
I think
yeah, they that did had something in, to do yeah, with it.
I think they did enhance her eyes a little bit to make it to where, okay, she's clearly connected to this that, blue light that keeps showing up, which is, you know.
Not like I again watching Miss Omar, like when I was looking at her eyes, that reminded me of that. Like he pays attention to color a lot, and like even the light that was, you know, showcased throughout this, it you wouldn't think a possession would happen like that. You know what
I'm
saying?
It was pretty.
It was it was like beautiful. It almost was like heavenly, if you were to say. But it was the complete opposite. But like seeing like Annie and her family, like to me, what I hated about like when we get to Peter and like his relationship with the mom, and obviously it's a rocky relationship. But Peter as a character, like he's the teenager, the older brother. Obviously like that dynamic with Charlie is like, especially for how she acts, he don't really want to hang out with her like that. But I was like, what?
Would you?
Why
would
weird ass kid? Why they make Peter the pothead?
All the talk. Cut that shit.
Yeah.
The man, fuck is wrong with
leave
you?
Leave your ass at home.
But I hated it.
For real. Shit.
Yeah, I just wouldn't do it. I'm not going to the party. I'm fine.
Yeah, forget it. I don't want to go no more.
Thank you, sister. I'm good.
But why they make him the pothead? I feel like they was trying to say something about that. Like,
wouldn't you smoke weed if you lived in that family?
And your little sister looked like that?
Yeah.
And your grandma was you kept locked all up them in the room for the light until she died? Like, I would smoke weed, too.
Yeah, think about how fucked up his family has been.
So you guys look at Peter as the normal one out of this family?
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, Peter and the husband.
And that poor daddy.
Yeah, the dad didn't know what he was in for.
I was like, is Steve a shitty husband or is he like he's just the good guy in a bad situation?
Wait, what'd you ask?
Is Steve a shitty husband or is he like a good guy in a bad situation?
No, why was he a shitty husband?
He's a shitty husband?
No, I said, why? Why would he be
because
a
I don't think he really listened to Annie. Like,
would you?
The she's bitch is crazy. It's immediate that she's crazy.
It wasn't immediate.
I don't think she's crazy because what she was saying was actually happening.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
But from his standpoint, if your wife comes home and she's like, hey, I just went to a seance and I can call up Charlie, I'm gonna be like, 911, come get this motherfucker. Because she done lost all her shit.
Right.
So I don't think he was a bad husband. I mean, anybody would have behaved the way he did.
Yeah.
He was trying to get her to leave. What's the little boy's name? Peter. Alone, he was there for her when Charlie died. He was a good husband.
He did blow up her on one time. He was like, either you come down or not, I don't give a fuck.
I don't give a fuck what you do. But did you see what she was doing? Okay, yeah, you might be right. She was a little crazy.
She was crazy. Yeah, them right. Miniature boxes, that bitch been crazy from the start of the damn movie.
When she was making the diorama of Charlie with no head, I was like, bruh.
Well, let's get to that as far as.
Before, she was crazy with the diorama, her mama, her titty out. Like, she was crazy from the gate.
But that was her getting out what actually happened. Like, that was her dealing. I think that was her way of dealing with trauma with her crazy-ass mother.
Yes. Yes.
But so going back to, like, Charlie and Peter. Charlie's obviously antisocial, awkward child. Peter's trying to be, you know what I'm saying?
He's trying.
He's just trying. You know what I'm saying? He got his little gang of weed smokers and shit like that. And he's got obviously a high school crush that we see. And then he gets invited to this party. For some reason, Annie want him to bring Charlie. And I knew off rip, like, come on.
This ain't going to go well.
This ain't going well. She was eating Hershey kisses at the damn funeral, like looking at the body. I'm like, come on. Like, that is not somebody you want to invite to tell stories at a party. So
to the high school barbecue.
Yeah. And even like Peter and Annie's interaction when he asked to use the car, like that was weird as fuck. But I knew, I kind of chalked it off like, oh, that's just how white kids talk to their parents and shit like that. But like when we get to the party and then you see like Peter's trying to, you know, do his thing. And then Charlie is like obviously attached to her brother because she don't fuck with nobody there. She don't even want to be there herself. did you guys expect how things played out after that part?
Man, listen.
That's what got me into the movie. Really.
Listen, I legit paused the film and I was like, it's only 32 minutes and 52 seconds into this. I was legit about to text y'all and say, I don't think I want to do that. I don't want to play no more. I was like, this is when that baby hair fell off.
I didn't even know it fell off.
Look.
I just thought she just got hit.
Look.
I thought you got a V8 type of
Nah, I could tell the head came off.
I did too. Really? And I was, yes. I literally like, and covered my mouth. I was like, are you shitting? Because I thought this, at that point, I was like, this film is going absolutely nowhere near where I thought it was going to go. Because I sincerely thought it was going to be like the creepy kid haunting or being possessed or something and killing everybody in the house. And I'm like, I was like, is she going to like come back or some shit? And then when they sewed her head with the flies and shit, I was like, no, the bitch just really dead. I don't know where this is going anymore, and I don't think I want to ride.
That was one of my favorite, out of all the times I've been to the movies, that was one of my favorite moments of going to any movie theater. Because I told y'all, when I saw it, there was only like maybe 7 people in the whole theater, and there were these 2 black women behind me that clearly didn't know what the fuck they were in for.
Honey.
When that part happened, I have a really bad tendency of when stuff like that happens, I laugh.
I laugh. There's another part I laughed at, but go ahead, finish the part.
So when I didn't expect any, I was just like, all right, cool. You know, she ate the cake and clearly had nuts in it, because they show the girl at the beginning fucking chopping up like a 25 pounds of nuts. But when she hit that fucking pole, I was like, oh shit. And one of the ladies behind me, she said, girl, what the fuck did you bring me to? And typically I get mad when people speak. I fucking hollered. I was crying. But yeah, I was like, oh my God.
And then
when Peter stopped, like that was one of the most emotional he was just like, I cried at this.
Because he was like, hey kid, he was like, you okay?
Wait, did he say that?
Yeah, he did.
No, he didn't.
That's the part I laughed at.
No, he didn't say, are you okay?
He adjusted his beard. He was like, you okay?
No, he didn't.
Bro, I had it on.
Did he?
I had the captions on, bro. I had to rewind
about. Did he say it real low?
Yeah, he said, bro, I rewinded about 3 times. I'm like, bro, you know damn well.
I don't think he knew her hair came.
No, he knew something fucked up happened.
Wait, what?
He had to know her
hair. I don't think he knew her head came off until he adjusted the mirror. And then he, like, because I think he knew she hit her head.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think he knew that her head came off.
How fast he was going. And any impact like that, because her, I don't know why her goofy ass wanted to be out and about like a damn dog.
She was choking.
If you can't breathe, you can't breathe. What's you sticking your head out
you
for?
You think a child knows that?
She ain't a child. She's 13. First of all, she fucked up by not asking, is there nuts in this? Nigga, you 13. I don't give a fuck if you look like you Chim Chimney Roo. Nigga, get your, you can ask context, bro.
Wait, how do you know she's 13?
That's how they said she was. She was 13.
I've seen that movie probably 25 times, and I've never thought about how old she is.
He is absolutely right. Most people that have allergic reactions, that's one of the first things they
is there nuts in this? If we don't, he ain't even got to lead the party. He can probably have his, he can mess around and play hooky with the little girl smoking weed. Her goofy ass, and then that's why like when it happened, I was like, damn, that's fucked up. But at the same time, she should have asked. But what he said is, you okay? Like, nigga, you know you fucked up. he was just stunned. Like, that was a great acting scene. I'm not
it
trying
really
to take
was.
But it was just, I don't know why I laughed at it, because it was just,
yes, you do.
Because I was thinking, what
do you do?
Yeah.
Like, right. What do you do? At like 17 years old, like, the nigga just drove home. And I was like,
he drove home and went to bed.
Yeah.
He went to bed and put the sheet over and just waited for his mama.
Fucked up as that is, I get it. Like, I can't sit up here. I can understand. Just, I guess I just got to go home. Like,
But why he had to let his mama find out that she over here cooking breakfast? Oh, I'm about to go run an errand. Okay. Da-da-da. She get in the car like, what the fuck?
That was horrible. That fucked me. That fucked me up a little bit.
Nah, when she was
a lot bit actually. Like the way she was screaming when she saw that baby.
And then she just lost her mother like earlier that week.
When did he go back to get the head? Did he go back to get the head?
He didn't get back the shit.
But I thought something was on the head.
He left the head with head. ants all over it.
That fast? So how long was
what you mean that fast?
That was the next day. And it was an hour or two. Like, if you ants are gonna find that shit immediately.
Yeah. But the time that it went from him standing there,
like 1 a.m.
You gotta think he went to bed. So if that, like, we can even say if it happened at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Which I don't think it was that late, because I don't think his mom would have allowed him to be out that late with the kid. So it was probably more like
11
midnight at most. Right? So then they didn't find the head until the very next morning. So that's from 11 p.m. And we can just make a guess and say 8.
Yeah.
So damn. For 9 hours, a fucking severed head on the side of the road. When they got back to that scene, I just lost it. I was like, why did y'all need to show that? I mean, I loved it. The head with the ants all over it. I was like, God damn, you're raw, bro.
They did need to show that, because it wasn't completely clear that her head came smooth off with the way she hit. Like, I mean, you can imagine.
Yeah.
But it's just like, yeah, it was impactful.
But what's your
impactful? No pun intended.
Wow,
was it impactful?
FIFA be rubbing off on everybody with that shit, man.
Yeah,
it was prototypically impactful.
I did like that they showed it, because I didn't think that, I don't know how hard that impact would make. I didn't know it could take your top off like that.
Like, I don't think it really.
So there's an old news story. I don't know if y'all remember this, but this really happened. To a kid who was drunk driving with his friend home. And I don't remember exactly how, but I can find it for y'all. But the kid got decapitated, or his friend got decapitated, and the kid went home and went to sleep. This was something that really did happen. I'll find it for y'all. But
are you serious? Just based on some truth? Just based on facts?
Based on facts.
Damn.
But now what would you do, though?
Like, that's why when I was looking at him, like when I rewound it, like, after the fifth time, I stopped laughing. But, like, it was just like, what would I do if my sister, not only did she suffer, like, a peanut allergy, like, a reaction, and I... On my watch. I'm high. You know what I'm saying?
Here it is.
Family of a man decapitated in an alleged drunk driving accident is pleading with authorities to free his best friend who was behind the wheel and apparently didn't know that his passenger had been beheaded. So, yes, this is something that really did happen. I remember this in 2004.
Front door.
So, yeah, this can happen.
Where was this?
This was in... I can't.
It's all good.
This was in Georgia. Cobb County.
Cobb County?
Maybe that's why I remember it so well.
Door.
Yep.
Wow.
Police say Braun was drunk and hanging out the passenger side window the night where Hutchison veered off the road. Broham hit a roadside telephone wire, severing his head. I remember this.
Oh, that's a wire, though.
But I wasn't saying all this to say that you can really get your head knocked off. Because
I thought she just got dunked, bumped on her head, and like,
that's
she was
what made
knocked
it so
out.
Dope, though. Mm-hmm. Like,
but when he
did come off,
when the head came off,
like, man, Mama gonna be pissed.
Well, now. Nah, Nate,
you lost your sister's head.
Right?
How the hell you do that, bro? You're supposed to be watching your sister.
So irresponsible.
I understand you lose the car keys. You lose your wallet. How the fuck you lose it? It's bad enough you killed her.
Yeah.
Peter, where is her head?
I don't even know, bro.
I know you lost your mind, but she lost her head.
She lost her whole head. Where is it?
Peter's like,
I don't know.
I don't even know, Mom.
You can't do a Kanye shrug to your sister's head.
Yeah, you can't. Peter did. Peter was like, but, it ain't in the car. I could have sworn it was there when I saw it.
I could have sworn the whole body was in the car. The head's not. That's weird. Damn.
Oh man.
No, that's when she was crying. That shit.
That
sound of like that pain. You could hear the pain. Like
the way she was doubled over on the floor. I was like, this bitch can act her ass off.
She's amazing.
And all daddy could do was just sit there and hold her. Like,
I can't.
Like when he was laying there, because the way they did the shot with him just with his eyes open, and then it goes to the daytime, and the next thing you know, all you hear is her screaming. And I was like, damn, he really did just drive home with the body in the goddamn car.
But what do you do? You try to look for the head and just leave it in the car with
him? I don't even know.
First of all, how far is the hospital from that crib? Like, where they at?
I don't know.
This nigga was driving, it felt like, for a minute.
I don't know. Honey, I don't. That's how I felt this whole movie. I don't know.
He didn't go to jail for that shit, did he?
He what?
Oh. He didn't go to jail.
Why would he go to jail?
Why wouldn't he? That's manslaughter.
Yeah, vehicular homicide.
But would his parents have to press charges for that?
I don't know if the parents would have to or if the cops would just intervene, period. Yeah. Like, it's a death.
But it's accidental, right?
But he was driving under the influence, killed his sister, and then drove his ass home. I guess if they included the police part, the movie would have been too long. Mm-hmm. But that is a good point. The cops never even showed up. Maybe the cops were part of the cult, and they were just like, yeah, we already know about this.
Could be.
It was hella motherfuckers at the end. But yeah, like, another part, a scene that stuck out to me as far as when Annie, after dealing with all that, she had to go to a support group, and she would lie to her husband saying that she was going to the movies, and it was really just a support group for people who lost, you know, loved ones. Her story, the way she opened up, I did not expect that.
That's why I said that bitch was crazy from the gate.
When she explained all, like, your family hit, she was like, when she stopped and looked at everybody else, it was like, all right, you can have that. This is your day. I ain't saying nothing after that.
Yeah, all of that stuff plays in so well once you get to the end. It's like, okay, this family was doing fucked up shit from the jump. Like, her mom died, the dad starved himself, and the brother killed himself.
Because of the mama.
Saying that the mama was trying to put something in him, or put someone in him. Mm. So when you finish the movie, all of that makes sense. And it's like, God damn, they've been orchestrating this shit for years. But at the time, I was just like, why are y'all putting this woman through all this trauma?
How do you starve yourself?
He didn't. Okay. I think Paimon took him over and it just didn't. Because you got to think.
He didn't like the body.
Well, no, this is sort of jumping to the end, but you kind of get the assumption that the body that Paimon's going into has to be broken down enough to accept him. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what happened with the father, and it didn't take. Mm. Then the mom tried to do it to the son, and the son killed himself. So then she was going to try to do it to Peter, but then if you remember, that's one part we skipped. If you remember, she says she wouldn't allow her mom to be around Peter.
Mm.
But then she did allow the mom to be around Charlie.
And that's why the grandma said, I wish you were a boy.
Yes. Because Paimon would rather have a male host. Mm-hmm. And because they made her kind of like skip over Peter and go to Charlie, but then they realize, okay, we can't put it in Charlie because Paimon doesn't want a female body.
Man, yeah, that's. I mean, we're talking about the support group meeting Joanne, or Joan. Her.
Man,
that was the twist that was like, wow, like it was an obvious twist because like they kind of spell it out based on as soon as you get to Joan's place
and the mom's
and you see the placemat on the outside door.
I kind of wish they wouldn't have done that.
Yeah, because I was like, all right, we know.
Yeah, it was like, okay, now we know there's some kind of connection here. But if she realized that later on, it would have been cooler. Because I feel like it would have been more interesting for us to really think, no, she's just some grieving other woman that did go to a seance and is now teaching Annie how to do this.
Yeah, but exactly.
Now that we know that there's already some kind of weird connection there.
They didn't have to actually have her say it.
Right.
If she just would have looked at it and kept it going.
Good point.
And
yeah.
Then they, yep. When she went through the boxes and you see the rugs later, that yep. could have been dope.
That would have been better. Yeah.
And what I noticed throughout the movie as well is like there were what was those were all markings, like the like even before the pole accident happened with Charlie losing her head, there was a marking on a pole, like a scene where you see
that's Paimon's symbol.
Yeah, but so that was shown throughout the movie before a scene would happen in that area.
Yes, so okay. Paimon's symbol is around the grandmother's neck.
Mm-hmm.
It's on that pole. It's in Joni's house. Like, that's how you know that all of that stuff is connected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everything that happened wasn't just by chance. Like, it wasn't just by chance that, you know, he veered off the road and killed his sister. Like, all of that stuff was orchestrated by Paimon and the cult. So before, if you look closely when he's driving to the party.
Yeah, it's
the
there.
Symbol's on the pole.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a movie that you clearly have to watch twice. Because mm-hmm. the first time, you're not going to pay attention to that yeah. shit.
Sure. Well, they made it. I felt like I felt there was something. I was like, why are they showcasing those words? And I thought at first, you know what I'm saying? I'm looking at that goofy ass handwriting. Like, I don't know. Somebody just graffitiing the whole place.
But I was like, nah, this has got to mean something. Like,
once the movie's over, you have to go to like Wiki and read up on who Pyman was. And then everything else in the movie finally makes sense.
I'm good. I ain't doing all that shit, Mike.
It take you 10 minutes. Bruh, and then everything makes sense.
Man, not to sound like your husband, Nate, but that shit disturbed my spirit a little bit. You know what I'm saying? After I got through this shit.
I feel you, Nate.
Boy, like, especially when we get to that end of
I ain't reading up on the
I'm cool. I don't even like pie, Mike. I like cake. I'm a cake man.
Just hold the nuts. I eat cookies.
I don't know if I got a peanut allergy either. Oh, I'm scared as hell down the drive with a peanut allergy.
We'll be back after this quick break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards. One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards. One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards. One morning, you just walk in with a bag of everyone's faves from McDonald's, drop it on the counter, and say, breakfast is on me. Boom! That's the power of saving money on the McDonald's app. Hope you can handle all that. Save money with the app. At participating McDonald's, must opt into rewards.
But, like, so we get to Annie confiding more in Joan, especially about her sleepwalking, and then we hear that sleepwalking story. That's when I'm like, all right, this Annie done. Because at first I thought, like, oh, Annie must be the same one out of her family for her to see all this goofy shit that happened.
Yeah, Nate's right. She is
that
crazy.
That bitch was crazy from the gate. Yeah, and I'm borderline happy that my husband didn't watch this. Because I felt a way when she was in there telling her story. Because I have a lot of mental issues in my family line. And I'm like, well, damn, is that what this is about? Like, the way the crazy just follow you into your next line of generation? Honey,
But see, hers wasn't just regular crazy.
It wasn't. It wasn't. So, I realized what. Yeah, but
I was about to say, you can relate, Dave. Hey, you might even stay 5 feet away from me.
But no, that's why I was like, I spent this whole movie trying to figure out what the fuck, where are we going here? Mm-hmm. Like, so, and I didn't get the whole, like, Pyman and Demon and all that stuff till the end. So, yeah, I'm like, so did it skip her and go into her children? Like, what is going on here?
Nah, it went, once they got to the seance thing and Joan talking about some, come on, yeah, like it's a, like they playing like bridge or some shit.
Yeah, like
shit.
A Ouija board.
Yeah, like, nah, moving the cup, I'm good, bro. Like, you and your grandson have fun, have at it. You know what
you
I'm
wouldn't
saying?
Even try it.
Hell no. Nah.
Man, if one bro, of y'all came to me and was like, yo, I know how to call up the dead and make it move this pack of icebreakers.
I'm like,
show me. Nah, I'm like, look, I'll move it myself. I'm alive. Fuck the dead.
Let's cut out the middle, man.
Y'all never played with a Ouija board?
Let the rest rest, all right?
You haven't?
Absolutely not.
You ever played with a Ouija board?
Nah, I'm cool on that shit.
I can never get it to work, though.
I never understood.
I didn't need to work. Yeah.
I never understood the concept. Like, what we doing? Like, what are you doing? Like, why are we moving it like this?
It's
like,
spelling words. You ask it questions and it spells
bro,
words.
Bro, let's play Scrabble. Like, shit. I don't need a demon to help me out with my spelling bee. All right.
Oh, no, I never played with no damn Ouija board. I ain't trying to call up no dead people. They there for a reason. They could stay there in the name of Jesus. I'm straight.
They might just have a little conversation, though.
I talk to the Lord. That's the only dead person.
That's the only
thing I need right now, Mike.
He resurrected. Yeah, I'm straight.
Oh, he lightweight alive, ain't he?
It's my heart. Amen.
Oh, my God.
But when Annie was, when she was doing the whole seance scene, that fucked me up. But what had me, another conversation as I was mentioning earlier, as far as like trying to figure out the theme of this movie, like as far as the relationship which you have with your family. When her and Peter had that dinner scene,
that was awesome.
That was like,
that was so awesome.
That's some dialogue you don't hear, like that interaction, like unless it's a horror movie, I think. Mm-hmm. The way they came at each other, I feel like it was necessary though at the same time. Like, yeah, they needed to get that off their chest.
I don't know. Like, let horror movie aside, in a situation like that where you have one child who accidentally killed the other, mm-hmm. how do you cope with that as a mother?
Yes.
And like have to still nurture and be there for this one kid, knowing that my other kid is not here because of you? Like, movie or not, like that dynamic and that emotion, I just I can't even begin to fathom. Like, how do you, child?
The way she explained it was actually logical too. She was like, I can't forgive because you won't even admit it.
Mm. Yeah. But she's also like, I wish I could take this away from you. I wish, yes, I could take this off of you, but I can't.
It's so conflicting.
So we all have to deal with the fact that she's dead. And basically, you did it.
And he was shitty for saying, well, you didn't have to invite her to the party, man.
But he wasn't lying either, though. He wasn't lying either. Like, there has to be, like, accountability all the way around, right? Yeah. Like,
but you weren't expecting that to happen.
No, she did it for a reason, though. She did it because she knew he wasn't going to no barbecue. So since you don't want to be honest with me, take your sister.
I don't think that was it.
And he also wanted to offload some of the guilt and blame that he felt saying, this is your fault because you made me take her there.
And
you
neither know, one of them wanted to go.
Yeah, exactly. And the mom is already thinking about that choice she made already. Yeah. So she's living with that choice that set off these whole sequence of events by her just saying, you're going to take your sister. That one decision could have changed everything.
Mm-hmm. It's the question of, is there nuts in this? That's what changes everything. Because her saying,
because she
recognized she got an awkward kid.
If she wasn't there.
She's trying to get the awkward kid around more people, be more social. That's what parents do.
That's what she was really doing. Yeah. She was trying to send the kid out because Charlie didn't have any kind of social skills.
But it was a hot. Is she in high school? She wasn't even
She's
in high
13,
school.
She's 13.
She's about to be in high school.
Yeah. And you're sending her to a high school party with her brother?
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what a lot of parents would do to get your kid acclimated to social settings, you know?
Where you know he's going to be drinking. You specifically asking, you going to drink?
He said he wasn't.
But that means you know it's going to be alcohol
but
there, that, so you know what type of
if
party.
You
that's
son,
why she
you
made
know
him
son.
Take his sister, because right. I think she thought if he takes his sister,
it'll keep him on the straight and narrow.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But he wasn't drinking anyway. He ain't a drinker.
He smoked.
But I don't think she knows that.
Yeah.
But I don't see how you don't notice that. That motherfucker, he had a bag of weed. Like, look, hey, baby girl, I got the good shit. But yeah, that dinner scene conversation, and that's why amazing. I said, is Steve a shitty husband? Because he over there sitting back like, come on, guys.
No, because
chill out.
That has to happen, though. Like, that needed to happen. And Steve is sick of dealing with it. He can't do it all by himself. He got a fucked up kid that then killed his fucked up sister. And he's got a fucked up wife who's upstairs making fucking dolls.
They did not have to do Steve like that.
Man, I'm just saying.
They had to take him out like that.
Oh, that. Nah, that was a perfect way to take Steve out.
He didn't deserve it.
I know he had to go out somewhere. Yeah. Huh? I know he had to go out somehow, some way.
That's why it was great, because Steve, I know we're not there yet, but Steve was such a, like, I'm trying to be level-headed throughout this entire shit. You're nuts, and my son is a fuck-up. And Steve is in the middle of, like, I don't know what to do here. I mean, I don't know what I would do if I was in their situation.
Can we go back to the beginning? Why didn't he tell his wife that somebody had dug up her mama?
Why? Yeah, because he thought he could just deal with it.
Because it's like he was thinking, like, she's mourning right now. You know what I'm saying? How much more? I think he found out after the daughter died too, right?
Yes. And he knew she could
No, he found out before the daughter died.
I thought it was a phone call after she died.
No, it was when she went to the movies for the first time. She wasn't dead at that point.
When you went to the movie.
Because remember,
first time she, it was right before she went to the first support group.
When he had a phone call, right?
Yeah. The daughter was still alive.
Well, either way, I think if you know the mama's crazy, I'm sure Steve knows.
I guess. Mm-hmm.
So Steve was probably just like, let me just deal with it myself and not even let her know about this. Which I can respect that.
Yeah,
like,
I
wouldn't tell my girl either. Like, mm-hmm. Your mom just got dug up. If I can go on there and figure it out myself.
Man, poor Steve.
So Annie going against our wisdom, continued with the seance, try to bring her daughter back. Even the crazy thing is, like, why would Joan, like, the flags. I'm thinking there's so many flags. I think it's a fucking, I don't know. It's the damn Olympics. Like, Joan talking about some, yeah, your whole family got to be in the room, in the house, too, by the way, like, when you're doing this shit. I'm like, that don't seem weird to you? Because it was just
call up the dead of, like, the ghost of your loved one that was their sister?
Yeah, but, like,
it makes complete sense.
Yeah, but she did it with just her.
Because all her other family died.
They're gone.
Which is also, now that I think about it, ding, 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 her son and her grandson both dead.
Mm-hmm. Mm. They've all been trying to do this for years. Mm-hmm. But Annie doesn't know any of that. So, and plus, Annie's desperate. She just lost her daughter. So anything Joanie told her, she's going to be like, oh, okay. She's not going to ask questions. And plus, remember, if you think about it, at the time, she, when Joanie was telling her all this stuff, Annie was freaking out because the cup moved.
And then and the nigga blew in her ear.
And the what?
Yes. And the ghost blew in her ear.
Right. You got a ghost giving you that kind of game?
Hey, like,
you're going to lose a little bit of your mind.
You right about that? I would have. She got the hell up out of that place, honey.
Right.
She was like, I can't do this right now. It's just too much. This movie is crazy as shit.
Man. And then when, like, bro, she, and Annie was, that's what, Annie lost it. When she got her and her son downstairs and stuff like that, and they doing the ceremony.
When that bitch started talking like
that. And then her son, like, Mom, stop, please.
It's like, who cries like that, you little bitch?
What's wrong with you? Scared as shit, crying like that.
Why did daddy had to get a bucket of water? Like, all right, shut the fuck up. She was working out like, what's going on? What are you doing?
Man, that part was amazing. Mom, what's going on? Mom,
Dad, what? Get her to stop.
Listen,
this movie crazy as hell. Man. And then that's when shit started getting worse when Peter at school, he can't even be himself. This nigga looked really like, he looked like he always hot. Like he was always sweaty and just, mm-hmm. Like, he was fucked up. He looked to the side. He looked at his reflection. He over here angry. His reflection smiled like a jackass. Right back out like, go ahead and get your ass, boy. That shit had me weak, too. This nigga feel miserable, but his reflection happy as hell.
What's wrong with you, man?
Something is very wrong with Nicholas.
I'm just saying, Jesus. Bro. Some shit just, I don't know. It just looked... It's just weird. Like, I would laugh at that if I was upset. That would make me laugh.
That'll make your day.
Yeah, because I'd be like, why is my reflection?
I guess I'm
so
happy then.
Yeah, know. I'll be like, what? Look at God trying to make me sweat. He worked in mysterious ways. But now, when he lifted up his arm, do the AKAs do that? Do the AKAs do that? I was like, what AKAs? I thought he was about to be like, ski.
I was getting weak. It's the Q Dogs. And no.
Oh, man. Oh, I was getting weak.
That shit would have set it off, honey. If he would have started barking like a Q or something.
He was like, oh, then he started clicking. I'm like, all right.
That clicking got me every time.
Yep. I don't even want to hear it. I don't even want to hear it now. Like,
no, sir. When that bitch clicked in the back seat and wasn't nobody in the back seat.
Man.
I said, shut this shit off. I can't. I'm straight. I don't want to play no more.
Man, the part in when I was in the theater, the part that actually did kind of scare the shit out of me was when he was laying in the bed and you heard it. Like, kind of far away.
Uh-huh.
And then you heard it right in his ear. It's like real loud. I was like, oh shit, hell fucking no.
Bruh, I'm
looking around like,
what? I was thinking the same.
Y'all playing. Y'all stop playing.
Who's fucking around?
Bruh.
That Dolby surround sound got you.
Yes, because it came from back here.
Mike.
I'm like, y'all don't stop playing. That shit ain't funny.
I'm black watching girl, this in the daylight.
Yeah, she leaning my
Mike, I'm watching this in the daylight and I'm still looking around.
See?
Because I'm like, hold on. I'm like, I hope that's the birds and the bees outside.
Oh,
not
God.
Oh, man. But yeah, that shit was, Peter was just going through it, bro. I felt bad for my guy, bro. Yeah. Because his mama trying to kill him now, too. I'm
yeah,
like,
that, the fact that she said she sleptwalked And then everybody, both her children was covered in goddamn paint thinner, and she was too. If I was Peter, I wouldn't fuck with that bitch either.
If I was Steve, I'm like, we getting a divorce. You going somewhere. You ain't got to go home, but you got to get the fuck up out of here.
That is crazy.
Because I'm like, she talking about something I had to match, but I blew it out.
Immediately.
Goofy, my brother. Okay, I guess.
Right.
What does that mean?
Right. She's like, of course, you changed your mind. Tight. What about next time?
Of course, Peter ain't going to look at you the same.
Right.
Shit, I didn't look at you the same after hearing that.
That was the best she could come up with, though. I blew it out. Like, well, what else you gonna say though? That's what I was saying. I'm like, I mean, yeah, I had it, but
and then that, shit. Sleepwalking dream that she had, where she was telling Peter, "I never wanted you," and then I'm like,
that was crazy.
That shit was, and he was like, "Why?" Like, he talking about you trying to kill me this whole time.
Child,
man,
this movie is crazy as hell, and it's so funny because. The next movie, when I was watching the other one, I'm generally the person who's talking to the screen during a horror movie. I was quiet as fuck this whole movie. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was like this the whole
time. I had nothing to say.
Yeah, honey.
I had nothing to say.
My mouth was covered the whole time. I didn't know what the hell was going
on. The theater was quiet as fuck, too, when I saw it. It was completely silent.
During that scene?
During the entire movie.
Oh, during the movie. Because you don't, you just
don't
know.
The entire movie. It was like, what is happening? This is tense. Because, I mean, that's one thing this movie does extremely well is there are zero jump scares in this film. What Ari Aster does that's so good with this movie is he lingers on the shit that's supposed to scare the fuck out of you.
Yes, he does.
I know you laughed, but when I saw Peter staring back with that goofy-ass smile in the middle of a completely dark theater, I was like, okay, this is unnerving. And he's showing it for hella long.
Yeah.
But and then there's the part, I don't know if we've gotten to that part yet, where Peter's laying in the bed and there's like a figure in the room. And we skipped over the part where Annie sees the mom in the dark corner.
Oh yeah.
Again, the camera lingers on that stuff. It doesn't just show it and then go away.
Right.
Or show it in like a half corner. It focuses on it.
It's like you look like, am I really seeing what I'm seeing right now?
Yeah. Yes. That's what this movie does brilliantly is it's like it makes you really think, okay, is that really what I think I'm seeing? Like, am I actually seeing the grandmother? And then she flips the light on and it's gone.
And like when even though we're not quite there yet, when that bitch was in the corner of the ceiling.
Oh, we're going to
get
another
one. Roach.
There's, yeah. There's another one. Hold on.
Man.
Oh, man. The whole book burning. All right.
Have we passed the scene where the
original,
where the person's covered in all black and they're in the corner of Peter's room? I think you've skipped over a couple parts. Like, there's the part where he's in the room and there's Charlie's in there and Charlie's head falls off.
Uh-huh. Yes.
That was before the book burning.
Damn.
No, I'm talking about, like, before, like, when she originally tried to burn the book, right?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Got you.
Sorry. I didn't understand that connect because that was just, was that her mother's journal or
that
the photo album?
That was Charlie's. Oh, Charlie's. At the funeral. That was like when we were first introduced to her. I think she was drawing her mama looking crazy.
Yep.
So, but I didn't understand, like,
that's
like,
how I knew the bitch was crazy, right?
Because who brought up the idea of, like, you should burn something of theirs
or no. Joanne told her you have to have a link between the dead person and you. So that book, her drawing book, was the link. So I guess she was thinking if I burn the link, I'll end whatever is going on here.
Yep.
But it burned her and it was burning her instead.
That was crazy.
Yeah, I didn't expect that.
I mean, I knew that she wasn't going to burn the book and the shit just be dead, and that's it.
Right.
We had a lot of time.
Yeah, it was like, no, it was like 45 minutes left.
I was like, it's still too much movie. Man,
you might need to burn something else.
This movie crazy.
Yeah, but going to what you were saying, Mike, as far as like the figures that Peter was seeing in his room.
Mm-hmm. That one that was smiling, that's the one that fucked me up.
Which one?
There was like, it was a male figure. And
that's at the end.
That's at the end?
Yeah, that's the end. That's the one that's the one that got me.
Oh, the naked man.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the one that scared the fuck out of me.
He was just like.
That's when the bitch was crawling the ceilings like a roach. And I was like, but she right there though. Like, look up. This movie.
Yeah, that's what scared me. Cause like, even before the bitch, before she came out and started running, man, I was like.
What the fuck was that part? I was thinking of the Charlie part. There was a part where he's in his room and he's like,
he sees Charlie?
And then the head falls off.
Was that the head that rolled? I thought
it
something
became
rolled.
A ball.
Oh, it became,
yeah, it became a ball.
Because that's another part that I laughed at, because like, because after the roll, you see a hand grab him and he over here getting talking about, oh shit, Charlie gone, get revenge on her brother. Thought he was going to decapitate his ass. Then all of a sudden, his mom was talking about some, honey, what's going on? I'm like, your ass is the one that was holding it. He was like, mama, you was the one doing it. Don't lie,
like, that
me.
Wasn't me.
He's like, yes, it was.
But don't tell your dad.
Right. She was like, ain't nobody else in here. Clearly that was you. Why are you lying?
That's what I was at the point. I didn't know who the fuck was crazy in this family.
He's like,
anymore.
You pulled my head. You tried to
He was in the right the whole time in that, you know, his complaint. But it's just the way he delivered it. It was just like, all right, bro, you ain't got to cry like that.
I would be crying, too. What are you
saying? I hate the way he cries, man. No one
cries like that. Yeah, like, you would think he'll be a little, like, you about to be 18, bro. You should be, like.
Just sob a little
bit. Yeah, just a little bit more sob.
You hard crying.
Especially if you got beef with your mama since day one, ever since the whole, you know, paint washing incident. Like,
nigga, shit. Come on. The shit that was going on, you may be glad he didn't piss himself. Are you serious?
He probably did piss himself multiple times.
Multiple.
She over here choked him out like a dude off a baby boy. What's going on? What's wrong? You good? Oh, man. That shit was comedy. But now, going back to the book towards the end, like, when she was like, I need you to burn it, honey. And then I thought, I was like, all right, this is where he's going to finally believe her, and they're going to go off in the sunset. This nigga stopped right there talking about something. You know what? I'm done with this
fuck
shit. Like, I'm done. Like, literally, this is the camel. This is the straw. And I'm the camel. All right. I'm broke. This is shit. It's done. I'm done with your shit. And then her ass just grabbed the book and throw it in there. I'm thinking, like, all right, she just ready to sacrifice herself. This nigga.
They did him so
this nigga
dirty.
Burned them like, oh, shit.
They did not have to do them like that.
My mama was
like
right about you.
Look.
I shouldn't have married your ass. Gave me these crazy ass kids. I know that's what he was thinking the whole time.
The
he was burning
time
up.
He was burning.
Oh, raise this old fucked up face ass daughter. No, that shit come from your side of the family. The fuck? This whole dirty face ass kid.
You
can't even raise a kid to wash your fucking face. Old charcoal face ass kid.
How your doll's face cleaner than your kids?
Why you always got black face? What's wrong with you?
Jesus.
Little fucked up ass, dirty ass little kid.
Oh man,
they
I was sorry.
They did not have to do him like
man,
that. That part was so good.
They fried that nigga like he
they
was.
They fried that nigga.
Man, Kentucky fried. I'm like, man.
The look, only thing I hated about that is I wish that was not in the trailer. That was in the trailer.
Oh, was
it?
Was
ruined it.
You gotta stop watching these trailers.
I know. I don't anymore. I usually cut the trailer off halfway through now because they start giving away shit. But that scene was actually in the trailer, so I was expecting it. So that did kind of ruin it for me. But you know, it was
and
still
then
a dope
that,
scene.
After that, she was just crying. All of a sudden, you see her face get all like she about to fart or something, and she just sounds like, "Oh yeah, it's a wrap." She gone, and then they go right to Peter. I'm like, "Ah shit,
Peter's fucked."
Peter boy, is fucked.
You see that motherfucker crawling on the wall when he get up?
I said, "This bitch, that scared the dog shit out of me." I was like, "Who is she floating? What the fuck?"
Mm-hmm. And I love the one thing we didn't mention. The cinematography, how they showcase the whole room, or how
those big shots.
It felt like the miniature boxes that she was making, which I thought was really.
Which
dope.
Is how they start the movie off with that. Like I love
it. It was to the point where I was like, okay, so this whole thing is gonna actually be dolls in a box.
All of that stuff was intentional. Once you get to the end, y'all are stupid.
Hey, that's a good
black folks can't watch shit.
I know black folks can be ruining every fucking thing. They turn everything into a comedy,
right?
God damn.
I'm sorry.
I was like, okay, so maybe all of this is just miniature people in a box. I don't
you
know.
Think somebody just playing
Indians like in a cupboard? I don't
some
know.
Marionettes and shit. Like, it's Sesame Street.
Right.
Oh man. Nah, but nah. Once Peter came down the steps. And then he looked back and he saw that motherfucking figure.
That's
just
the one
smiling.
That fucked me
naked
up. In the theater. I was like,
It ain't even that. It ain't even that it was smiling. It's the fact that it was smiling while naked. I'm like,
butt ass naked,
like,
and covered in black. And he just in the corner grinning. I'm like, what the fuck are you smiling about? Show me your little dick. Fuck is this?
And then all of a sudden he looked, and then you hear footsteps upstairs. And mama coming out like, bro, I've never seen a white woman run that quick. Peter was like, he was crawling on the floor. He was
that
like,
was the thing, is it didn't even lead up. Because if you go back and rewatch it,
nope.
I don't even understand how the fuck Peter even saw her. Because the second she started running,
she would have got me.
He was always,
I would have been
he
like,
was already running.
I would have had my arms over my head. I'd be like, go ahead. You got this one, dude.
You may as well hit me with the taser. Because I would have been like, oh, fuck.
I would have passed out. As soon as she came, I would have passed out.
Ain't like, no fucking way. I'm giving up. I just saw this butt naked, fucking covered in soot ass man. And then my mama just come running at me. Fuck this. Just what you gonna do to me? Just do it. I'm not running. I'm not prolonging this.
Oh, man.
And his dumb ass gonna run up the fucking stairs.
Run up the stairs.
What's wrong with the front door? I know they do. They always go up the stairs. What's wrong with the front door?
When she was banging her head on that thing, I'm like, she gone. She gone.
Because I did see that in the trailer, too. So I was like, okay, somebody, she finna go crazy at some point in time. I was waiting for that.
And then he calling for his mama the whole time, like, mommy, don't do it. I'm like, nigga, she gone, bro.
He didn't know. Maybe
she
was
sleepwalking. Bro, when she coming at you.
Right, he probably thought she was sleepwalking again.
When she coming at you like that, she gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he couldn't see.
Wake up, bitch. Mommy, please.
He couldn't see her banging the head like that. He couldn't see it.
Okay, I'll give you that. He ain't see the other four naked motherfuckers in the attic when he got up there.
That was no, that was after he was calling for his mom.
I know, I'm just saying, like, once you get up, you could feel the room. You know what I'm saying? Like, you understand? Like, there's some people in here. It's hot.
Well, you
smell like it smell like some naked white man.
You skipped over a pretty important part.
When they find the
when they found the mom.
Oh yeah.
The mom headless in the attic.
Yeah, she was there the whole time, right?
We don't know.
Yeah, we don't know when. We assume that she's at least been there since her
gravesite got dug up.
Exhumed, but
we just don't know who did it.
Do we think that Annie did it or that Joanne did it?
Neither. I think it was just somebody in the cult that did it. Because everything in this movie is orchestrated by the cult, which is why everything looks like it's the dollhouses. She's building dollhouses, and then when the movie's over, you realize that the cult was basically controlling everything, just like Annie was controlling the little things in the dollhouse. So somebody from the cult probably put that in the attic. I don't think Annie did it, because Annie wasn't possessed yet.
Right.
But she did sleepwalk a lot. That's what I was also thinking. Like, maybe she did it.
I don't think she sleepwalked all the way down there to get. Maybe. Well, no, she didn't. I think somebody from the cult got.
Yours makes sense. Yeah.
Got it and put it up in the attic. Hmm.
Because like her husband thought she was bullshitting, and he was like, damn, it stank up there. Shit.
Yeah, he's like, why are all these flies in the shit?
When he went up there, I didn't think it was going to actually be there. Yeah, I thought it was going to be like just in her mind at some point in time. So when he went up there and it actually was there, I spent this whole movie like, what the fuck is going on?
that's what we get towards the end. And obviously this nigga, he was done. He saw three more naked motherfuckers he didn't want to see. And he was like, fuck it.
He jumped out the fucking window.
He said, I'm out of here.
That made me laugh the way he just ran. He me like, too. Fuck it.
That did make me laugh, though. I was like, why this motherfucker died through the window?
That reminded me of the first Exorcist. When
when the father was possessed and jumped, out the window and went down the stairs. But at least he was possessed. Peter just jumped out because he's like, I ain't got no other option.
That's crazy.
No place for me to
that's why. Again, what would you do?
Yeah, you gotta get out.
It's the naked grinning. That's what fucked me up. Like, right. I understand if they was just naked and it was just like upset or like if they had clothes on and smiled, I'm like, all right, I could deal with that. But when you do the naked grin, I gotta come out the window.
Because you ain't even saying nothing. You just stand there fucking grinning and smiling naked. The fuck in the dark? What are you doing?
Like, I had to turn on the light. Your ass was already here.
And the naked thing about it is, I'm looking at you, and you're looking at me, and you still ain't said shit.
Just naked.
You just naked looking at me.
If anything, your smile get bigger.
Right.
Nigga, what's up?
Because you just hear that little sound, that ch- and he look over, and they both just, and you can't see it. But they just happy. Why are you so happy?
Because they know they about to get his ass.
They know they about to kill his ass. All y'all seem to be happy and naked. What the fuck is going on up here? And there's a headless thing over here.
My grandmama on the corner.
Like, what the fuck is... You're somebody that cut grandma's head off and y'all just grinning. I'm jumping out the fucking
window. And I can't even go to my mama. My mama trying to kill
mama
me.
Mama downstairs. Stuck to the fucking ceiling. Like a bug.
Slicing her head off. That shit fucked me up.
She wasn't downstairs no more. She was up.
She was in the attic.
Oh, that is that part. Yeah.
Not saying shit, just chopping her head off.
That part.
Wait, she was... Damn,
yeah, she was.
She was using piano wire to fucking cut her head off.
Her own head?
Yeah. You don't remember that part?
She was floating. Remember, he was looking up.
That was like one of the dopest parts of the whole film.
After he looked up and seen her, that's when he saw the naked people.
Damn.
He was like, man, I'm so cold.
Yeah, it's done. He saw his daddy already.
Yeah,
burnt, you know what I'm like saying?
A, man. Boy.
You remember it now?
Oh, yeah.
You got it on your... You keep it on your phone.
I sent it to my... Yeah. Yeah, keep talking shit. It's going to be you, motherfucker.
Oh, my goodness.
That's how I do my threats.
Oh, my goodness. Shit.
Yeah, his daddy was already, you know, oven roasted.
Oven roasted.
Poor daddy.
Yeah, I would jump out the window.
Do him like that.
And then, like, I thought that's how the movie was going to end. Like, it was like, all right, this is just how it ends. Like, nobody gets the monster. But then you saw that light come, and then... He gets up, and then you just see the mama headless just float into the thing.
To the treehouse.
And this don't look like... Nay, I was like, this don't look like heaven to me.
No, that don't. That's not heaven.
She floating up. She floating up somewhere.
I don't see no pearly gates and no streets of gold.
Nah. I just see decapitated white people.
And
some butterheads. But, yeah, so when he walked up to that thing, I didn't know what to believe. And then that's when you saw two headless people... You know, bent over, and then you just see a bunch of just other people just bent over, praying, and then you hear Joan's voice, man.
But that was the grandmother and Annie that were headless.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't
and
know
Charlie on the right. statue,
which I didn't know that was Charlie until like I had to rewind that again because I was like, who? I didn't know if they made of of clay head or whatever, but like, yeah.
What? You know, they made a clay head.
Yeah, I just thought, I thought they ran out of... They've been tossing out heads all this damn movie. I thought, shit, we lost one. We just make this another one. But they could have gave him a better crown. Like, they gave him that Burger King-ass crown. Like, you invested all this time, resources to get this nigga. Could get a nigga at least a better crown. Shit. Hey, he's made of gold. But the nigga gone. But I like how they didn't say... He didn't say nothing. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know, so you don't know for sure. What if it was
like,
Peter?
Was he like, what the fuck is going on, or was he really possessed?
He was possessed.
Yeah,
he was gone. Yeah, he was gone. Out of there.
Yeah. They had to get him to where he was beat down enough to accept being possessed by Pyman. At least that's how I took it.
Yeah, because if he ain't got no family.
No, his whole family's dead. His whole family is dead.
And that's usually connect, like, that's how people connect to their identity, who they are and stuff like that, so... If he may have gotten with the white girl, you know what I'm saying, at the party, maybe he'd be like, yeah, I could finesse this. You know, I could, you know, make
Blessed
my own family.
Nicholas.
But yeah, it's a wrap. Damn, so my biggest takeaway is that this is why teenagers shouldn't smoke weed. That's the biggest takeaway that I have from this. If he ain't smoke weed.
None of this would have happened. Blessed.
It wouldn't.
That's not true. they would have figured out some other way to make all of this happen.
But it wasn't that. This was the easy way. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, even if he wasn't smoking weed, they still orchestrated the entire thing with Charlie eating the cake, the dead deer carcass in the road. The weed didn't even matter.
So they was behind the cake?
They're behind everything. The cult and Pyman are behind everything. Anytime you see that blue light show up, that's Pyman manipulating the scene that's happening. Anything that's out of the ordinary that's happening, the cult is doing it.
Wow.
Like, if like I said, if you go to Wiki and just read up about who Pyman is, everything makes sense.
I'm listening to you.
When I watched the movie the first time, I was like, all right, this is cool. I don't know who this demon thing is they're talking about. And I just had to go look it up. And then I was like, oh. So, like if you look up, I think there's only, like, a couple of pictures that I've even been able to find of Pyman. And Pyman is riding on a camel. The camel has a crown. And there's a bag next to him with three heads. Mm-hmm. So then when you look in the movie, the three heads, Charlie, Annie, Grandma, right? Mm. The whole movie is them trying to get a host for Pyman. And they've been trying to do it for decades and it hasn't taken. So So they finally get to Peter and they think this is the best shot. And if you remember back when they're in that classroom, there's so much shit in this movie that happens that it makes it seem like it's not important. But when you watch the movie again 2, 3, 4 times, it's like all of this stuff starts to fit. Like there's that whole part where they're talking about the Sophocles story or whatever with, is it Heracles?
Heracles, I think. I remember the conversation.
Yeah, where they're talking about how, you know, Heracles is arrogant because he thinks he can change his destiny. And then somebody in the class is like, well, that's kind of fucked up because it's like, if you really think about it, there's no point in them doing anything because their destiny is already laid out and they're basically all fucked. That's basically this movie.
The story. Yep.
Annie was trying the entire time to change their destiny, but it wasn't going to happen because they're already destined for this to happen.
That's fucked up.
Paimon is controlling certain things because he wants a male host. I don't know what exactly was wrong with the brother or the father, but he wants Peter.
Is that a trope in horror for them to kind of have some sort of backstory or lore or legend that is the plot of this story? I've noticed that a lot in the horrors that I've been watching where there's some sort of explanation of the plot line.
Oh, no. This is something that's fairly new where it's like you watch a movie and you're like, all right, well, that was cool, but what the fuck was all this? And then you can go look it up and say, okay, that was a real demon. And this real demon is, there's like a whole thing behind him. And then when you know what that is, the movie then makes sense. Mm. I'm fairly new to seeing that kind of thing happen. Mm. The Witch did it. And then this did it. And those two movies came out around the same time, you know, but this one I think is a bit more interesting because it's like, okay, Paimon is supposed to be like this king of hell and all this shit. And then once you start putting everything together with the heads and all this other shit, it's like, oh, this is actually really kind of fucked up the way that they laid it out like this. Like, yeah, this movie is fucking incredible.
Yeah, that was one of my last questions I was gonna ask. Like, does this film live up to the hype going into it? Because I know, again, it made a lot of money based off of what it was, you know, created for, and the responses have been phenomenal. Like,
oh, one other thing they said about Paimon is the word actually means like an unspecified sound,
which is her clicking.
Which is her clicking. I forgot about that part.
Yeah, Rotten Tomatoes.
Why y'all getting so scared?
I'm just...
Because this stuff be rooted in real life shit, and it's just...
Well, I mean, Paimon's not real.
I got an imagination, all right?
That bad? You really think Paimon's going to show up and click?
I'm going to wake up to hella clicks.
This shit is tight, bro.
It was good. So I will say it was good. It was interesting to watch. At the end of the day, I was really, really on the edge of my seat the entire movie. Which says something. So they did a really good job. Even if I didn't quite get it, I ultimately felt it. So.
Yeah. I actually thought maybe Toni Collette should probably have gotten a nomination for her performance.
I thought she did get a nomination, but maybe she didn't. Did. No?
The highest she got, she got a Critics' Choice Movie Award, or Chicago Film Critics. Just like small, like, the Independent Spirit Award, like she was nominated and stuff, but she didn't get like an Academy Award nomination or anything, which is, I feel like, a missed opportunity for them. But Rotten Tomatoes gave it 89, you know, universally acclaimed. There's not really anybody who, you know, disagrees with it.
It got shit on when it first came out. That was the funny thing. When it was floating, when it was floating around, like the indie circuit, people were just like, oh, this movie's trash, which made me want to see it even more.
Oh, that.
If all of you guys hate it, it's probably good.
Yeah. That's funny you mentioned that because as I'm looking at it, there was an audience reception versus the critic reception. I'm reading the critics. They loved it. The audience gave it a D+.
See?
Mm.
But I think that's because Ari Aster didn't make it clear enough that you need to go look up who Paimon is. Because I feel like if you don't, then you're just going to be confused. You're going to be like, okay, well, what the fuck was all this? Why are they beheaded? Why are they fucking naked? In the room in the dark, what is all this? And I feel like if he made it a little bit more clear that Paimon may have been an actual real thing, I guess he doesn't really have to make it clear. Audience just needs to not be, you know, if they care, they should go look it up. But
I think it's going back to that conversation we have about what is considered horror
like some people are used to jump scares. That's how they define, you know, horror films. And like you said, there was some, but most of it was backloaded. You know what I'm saying? And the rest was just like how y'all mentioned, like it's just a creepy environment to be in. Like it's just disturbing.
I think that's worse. Like the way this movie makes things scary is way worse than something that's like jumping out of the corner at me. You know, the way that they were letting shots linger on these naked ass grinning white people was fucking terrifying. Terrifying. And I mean, Toni Collette running at him like that, I guess that's not really considered a jump scare. But that fucked me up.
That was the jump scare to me.
Like, oh shit!
Yeah, because well, she came out of nowhere.
Why are you so fast?
Like a rat, I can't.
And what were you gonna do when you caught him? Like, what are you doing? Calm down.
He ain't even zigzag either. Like,
zigzag to what?
Right
out the door.
Jump scare. I mean, all that shit scared me. But I think that the problem is with these, with like with the lingering and with the just the creepiness and just the overall sentiment and feeling. That shit lasts with you longer.
It does.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I was looking in the corner of my ceiling, seeing if it was bitches up there.
Every room, I open the door, I turn the lights on, I look all through those shits. You know what I'm saying? I'm ready. I'm like, all right. You ain't gonna catch me, no, not today, naked white man.
You need to wait till Rod sees this shit, and then wait till he go to sleep, and just go up in his ear and just be like,
"Nigga, I know I'm gonna get a left to make out of my couple. I'm straight." No, sir. Oh, man. Get me fucked up. Oh, good.
Man, it ain't funny. It ain't funny.
Or move a glass randomly in the room.
No. The way she looked under the table to see if it was a magnet.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that like, shit cracked me up, too.
Steve did the same thing, too, when that fire when that fire came up in the room after she tried to call like, Charlie. He was like,
wait a minute.
Yeah, Steve was like, bruh, nah, something ain't right.
Yeah. All right. Any last thoughts? Well, that's it. We all enjoyed it for the most part.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
All right, let us know, FPS Podcast, Reddit thread, your thoughts on Hereditary. Did you like it, love it, hate it? Also, that's the same handle, FPS Podcast, on IG and Twitter. That'll do it for us this week. We out. Peace.